listening to the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. On this week's episode, we begin a three-part series in which Charles de Comfy shares his philosophies on modern dressage. Charles starts by explaining that being knowledgeable, systematic, and gradual are the basic principles of training.
I always feel that now we live in the age of the superior horse and the minimal rider. So the minimal rider is not too derogatory in a physical way. Somewhat the excellent breeding of the horses is bringing them with so much correct motion, balance, rhythmic movement, and elastic movements that there's really nothing to develop. So the little foal drops on the ground when he's born and has the flying changes all tapped down and has basically the vocabulary of the great gates without needing the rider to enhance or improve those gates. Not too long ago, the rider's knowledge, particularly his mental, the academic knowledge and the emotional understanding of the horse was very necessary to build something completely new. Riders had to actually create, manufacture the trot or the canter, because the horses came to riders so meager that anything you wanted to get out of them athletically, it was a magician's work of starting from meager resources and make it into an edifice of strength and skill and a piece of art in motion. Now, this is given to you when you buy the horse somewhere in an auction or wherever, because you are getting a superior unit. And sometimes when the match is not quite correct or adequate, the rider actually proceeds to break it down. The motion is too big, too bold, too energetic, too out of control to the level of the rider who bought it. And it's almost has to be put into reverse and say, well, you are too good for me at the moment. Let me see if I can get you small, mincing, shuffling, uneven and rotten. And then when I succeeded making you miserable, you will be a perfect match for me. So the point is then what Jennifer was saying, that you always have to think of the horse's skills and strength on a continuum. Your goal is, of course, to increase the variables. So a good rider's goal is always to increase the rider's facility to perform each gait in more precise control of the rider and in a far greater variety. So have we got the two ideas? You know, more precise and greater variety. And this is very much easier to get from our superb horses today than it was 50 years ago on a miserable backyard creature from a peasant yard in Bulgaria. So this is a very fortunate world that I don't think the sport has ever seen, because prior to this age, horses were still utilitarian. So they were bred for carriage and for hunting and for agricultural use, pulling a plow or something. And there was no breeding goal saying Olympic gold medal. You know, this is a new breeding goal in the post-equestrian age, when the horse is not utilitarian in work and industry. So this is completely different. My problem with this is dual, or my recommendation is to pay attention to two things. Because the horse comes to you as a youngster, and on the first day of your riding is already performing many things that would be fourth level or St. George. I mean, you let him take flight in a nice medium trot. Well, you got your basically your St. George medium trot, because the horse you bought doesn't have a shabby one. So the obvious invitation is, let's skip stages. The art of riding is very important to be knowledgeable and systematic and gradual. And these principles must stay with you, because you say, well, I don't have to be systematic because I have my medium trot and my extended trot. So I can omit certain developmental stages. But the horse, being a living thing, and has to develop not just the body, but the mind, the understanding that you just now dialed to trot number 172, he has a lot of knowledge to acquire in the year ahead of you. You can't skip these stages, because then there'll be a calamity down the road where he said, darn it, why didn't I teach him, you know, trot number 87? Because now he omits it because I omitted it, and so on. So the gradual, systematic, appropriate development is now being confused, ignored, avoided, and played with more or less on emotional basis and not scientific or academic basis. The other concern of mine with the superior horse is that judges and teachers and riders, so the cognoscenti, the people who are supposed to know academic equitation and the science of riding and horse development, somehow forgot that it's all about, ultimately, it's all about collection. That is the ability of the rider and the horse to shift the combined center of gravity towards the haunches and liberate the forehand, the weaker part of the horse. So the horse will travel over the forehand, but do not dwell on it. So there'll be never an impaction, stress on the forehand. That would be the dwelling on the forehand, but that the horse will travel over it, but not stress or dwell on the forehand. So the shifting of the haunches toward the haunches is ignored, because the splendid moving horse gives you the illusion that is always engaged. It is not true, because while riding is, of course, controlled transportation, it doesn't mean that you control where you go, but you have to also control how you get there. And the modern riders run like maniacs because they realize that the concept of energy is a very important part of the goals of what we develop from horse. But they forget that we are supposed to create a horse that works with maximum energy but minimum effort. So speed is the enemy of engagement. The racehorse has no engagement. And the horse that runs, and horses escape taking weight and correctly engaging on the hindquarters in three ways: inversion above the bit, or overflexed. Number two, run. Speed is an escape. If a horse reacts to leg aids only by speeding, you mistrained him. Leg aids is stimulus for increased engagement of the joints, not the travel speed. The odometer doesn't increase. And the third escape, of course, is crookedness. Four ways to be crooked, And the horse combines the four ways into a telephone book of crookedness. And he can vary it quickly. And to straighten the horse and ride it forward was an advice not for speed. It was the advice forward had only one meaning, an imaginary connection of hocks to bridle, the termination point of the energy, viewed as a bowstring of a bow. And you can tighten and shorten the bowstring in collection or lengthen and enlarge the bowstring when the horse's posture is allowed to be longer or shorter, but all the time you determine the variable scale of the posture, and the goal of forward is not run like hell. No, no, no. It's slow down and increase the scope of the articulation of the horse's joints. It's a completely different concept. And this business of competitors running on an out-of-balance horse with irregular, uneven, unsuspended, shuffling, miserable, stiff strides is the opposite of what we recommend. When you do systematic schooling of a horse, you can really allow, the whole goal is to bring the latent talent of the horse and make it an educated, developed display of the latent talent. So all riding aims to improve the basic gaits, both in balance and in articulation of the limbs, in other words, the transportation. And of course, when it succeeds, you see actually greater performance with less effort, but also a slower horse, hence the inclusion of the majestic school canter to pirouette and the majestic passage. Those are demonstrations that look how much energy I can put in front of you without running. So if you have different horses, the goal remains the same. Horse is a random, unique, interesting, and noble creature of nature. The rider has to be familiar with the Baroque idea that with the intelligence and emotional content, humans can alter, groom, adjust, and tame nature and make it into a piece of art by allowing this random piece of uneducated nature to perform in a way he would have never performed on his own, on the pasture. This is the Baroque idea of human intelligence and will can ennoble random nature, which is unique, and it has to give it system and some uniformity. So this ideology is at the heart of horse training. So if you have little Brownie from Montana with very meager resources, and you develop his little food processing shuffling trot into a rhythmically rising cadence, 1, 2, I suspend trot. In other words, you turn the shuffle into an international trot fit for Amsterdam competition. Then you basically won your own Olympics, because this is the goal. The difference between that in Montana and the Olympic gold winner is that she bought a better resource to develop to those grades and the Olympic gold medal. The Montana girl has a more meager resource, but because she developed it to its utmost, she deserves also her own gold medal. So I hope I explained that clearly, because the glory or the pride or the achievement should be known as identical. the Olympic winner is, of course, on a better resource. And maybe with better knowledge, because a better resource needs more finesse. It takes a better violinist to play a Stradivarius than a six-year-old boy. So we know that. So the mastery of this evolution of random nature to elegant art is in the hand of a great artist.
Charles de Comfy is a 2013 inductee to the USDF Rumor Hall of Fame. This podcast is a recording from the 2013 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. Part 2 from this series will be available on next week's episode. The USDF official podcast is also available for download on iTunes. Visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education, to watch videos from these conventions and other USDF events at usdf.org. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.